We turn to the Middle East now. A bomb strike in the center of Syria's capital, Damascus, this morning has killed at least 15 people in another sign that the opposition can threaten anywhere in the country, militarily speaking. But efforts to achieve a democratic alternative in Syria seem to be faltering. The civil war grinds on, and the ability of the Syrian opposition to demonstrate credibility in its political front or to ensure real security on the ground in any of the so-called liberated zones that it controls, that's been very dubious. March was believed to have been the bloodiest month in the more than two-year conflict. The opposition to President Bashar al-Assad has long been divided. The formation last year of the National Coalition of Syrian Revolution and Opposition Forces was intended to create a sole legitimate representative of the Syrian people, replacing the ineffective and corrupt Syrian National Council. But the coalition has its own leadership crisis right now. Its president has resigned but has not been replaced. Here to talk about the struggles to find a democratic alternative in Syria is Najim Gaban, special representative to the United States from the National Coalition of Syrian Revolution and Opposition Forces. Najib, welcome.
Thank you.
Let's start first with the overall mission of the Syrian opposition as it's currently constructed. Is the mission right now and the most pressing matter to demonstrate security and sort of functioning civic government in the liberated areas on the ground in Syria? Or is the better mission, the most urgent mission, to demonstrate solidarity within the opposition itself, getting rid of the sort of factionalism that has plagued the Syrian opposition up till now?
Well, it's both. But I think the first challenge is the more urgent one. And that's why we created the coalition, which is a mini parliament that's going to create an interim government to govern the liberated areas and provide relief, services, as well as security in cooperation with the Free Syrian Army.
But you have a acting president who seems very unwilling to work with some of the international partners, concerned about the U.S. and others trying to control things, still a lot of factionalism within this parliament. I'm just wondering if power grabs are going to precede security on the ground.
I don't think so. Again, you know, factionalism is part of the fact that this is a coalition made up of different groups, different personalities, different geographic background, agendas, and so on and so forth. But I think everybody feels the urgency again of finishing this job of transforming Syria from this dictatorship, from this brutal regime that committed crimes against humanity, against the Syrian people, into a civic democratic Syria. Syria has been ruled by this regime for more than 40 years. So it's very hard to, you know, find a kind of democratic, responsible opposition that kind of, you know, live up just to deal with those goals.
You've got a great argument there in the Syria on humanitarian grounds, just as the Afghanistan people had a great argument against the Soviets when the Soviets invaded. Yet the opposition that developed there and was financed by the West ended up developing organizations like Al-Qaeda or Hekmatyar's group, which continue to plague the world security apparatus in the war on terror. What's to say that you aren't attracting the same sorts of characters into the Syrian opposition?
Syria is no Afghanistan. Let's start with that. Secondly, I think there is a strong determination among most Syrians that the kind of vision, the kind of Syria we want to build is a free, democratic Syria. This is, you know, we will not lose that focus.
Najib, you've got two terrifying models right next door. You've got Iraq as a model of instability and a pathway that you may want to avoid or embrace, depending on what your view of Iraq is. And you've got Lebanon on the other side, which had a period of prolonged instability that started in the 1970s and still is around today. What's to say Syria won't end up like either Iraq or Lebanon or both?
Two things. First, again, the demographic composition of Syria is different. There is a clear majority in Syria. 74% are Arab Sunnis. 80% are Muslim Sunnis. I think the factionalism you see in both countries is somewhat based on having three or four, you know, communities. But the second one, we're in Syria. In fact, we've been watching all of these experiments, including the Arab Spring experiment of Egypt, Tunisia. So there's so much to learn. And there's so much to avoid the mistakes of those countries. So creating a Syrian national identity is, you know, our kind of utmost objective. And we're working to do that without, again, overlooking the question of, you know, respecting diversity, and let this diversity be transformed into a point of strength rather than a point of division and weakness.
It sounds great, but who's going to pick the cabinet if there will be a cabinet in this interim government? Would it be democratic? Would it be diverse? Or does it end up being handpicked by characters like Mustafa Sabah?
Actually, for this particular interim government, the focus is on the technocrats, because the mission is for young people to go inside and provide services, provide relief for the needed area. So that's the bias, but without overlooking diversity. We don't want all of these people to come from one background. We created a small commission to, in fact, invite people to submit CVs. Again, we had a very high standards for the qualifications for each ministries, and so that's what we're biased toward, the technocratic experience, young people of all backgrounds.
What's the role of women here? If you go to Aleppo and see places devoid of men because they've gone off to fight, it seems the qualification to be in the opposition simply means pick up a weapon and leave home. You've got to have women and other civilians represented here to have a functioning civic government on the ground.
Absolutely. And I think that the coalition now, the mini parliament, is actually women are underrepresented. And I'm one of those who want to raise that at least to 25-30% as we kind of restructure this
from spot. Nearly zero now.
No, we have three, actually. Three out of 61. But we're definitely not happy with that. We have our colleagues, the women activists, they are, in fact, they just created their own movement. And they pushed for 50% representation, which I think because they were not happy with the three women out of the 61. And many of us in the coalition are very sympathetic, very supportive of their, demand. And so we're going to correct that as soon as possible. I think the future of Syria, as you said, women have been the main victim with children. I mean, take, for instance, the march, which has been very bloody. You have at least 290 women were killed in this conflict. Women are bearing the great deal of the pressure of what's happening with this conflict. So they must be included in a meaningful way in post-Assad Syria.
Najib Ghadban is the special representative to the United States from the National Coalition of Syrian Revolution and Opposition Forces. Najib, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Grappling with democratic models in Syria and other places around the world, we'll be talking about what democracy means in the 21st century. We're looking at the history of democracy here in the United States. David Graeber, author of The Democracy Project, A History, A Crisis, A Movement, and professor of anthropology at the University of London, will join later this hour. Our number is 877-8-MY-TAKE. Give us a call to weigh in on anything you hear on the program or follow us on Twitter @TheTakeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Stay with us. Thank you.